Our guest today is Dan Navarro, and I am so pumped because this man has finally put out a new record, Shed My Skin. Dan, so good to see you.
It's great to see you too, Ken.
I know Dan to be a man of great talent, and he's a great soul. We did an event last year called Freedom Sings at the Folk Alliance, and he was the spirit of the afternoon, and he's committed in a way that everyone isn't. So,
well, the spirit runs deep through these halls. I mean, this is a group of people who get together for the love of music, the joy of interacting, and basically, there might be some sort of commercial bent to it to an extent. I grew up in an industry where commercial isn't bad,
right?
But it's not everything.
Right. And when we talk about these halls are the halls of the Folk Alliance annual conference, international conference, and it's like talent everywhere. And
it's bizarre. It's hard to describe. I try to describe it as essentially take South by Southwest and Burning Man, combine them and shove them into a single hotel with 3,000 people.
I know. The whole notion that every hotel room contains somebody with great talent.
85 separate hotel rooms between the hours of 10:30 p.m. and 3 a.m. are turned into performance spaces.
And you know all this because, forgive me, you are a senior statesman of Folk Alliance.
I'm one of the elders.
You've been a board member?
I was a board member for 11 years until a year ago, and I was president for 4 years. I found the organization through Joel Raphael. And it was ostensibly a means of trying to extend the career of Loewen and Navarro, my former duo, right, with my late partner, Eric Loewen. Okay. I came looking for work. I found a family.
That's great.
And a community, and I wouldn't think of not coming. Okay. I get as frustrated sometimes with certain things, just like we do with family, but it's family.
The curation is remarkably good. In other words, I've yet to walk out of a hotel room and say, how did they get invited? I'm sure it happens, but very rarely.
It's a broad field. Yeah. And so sometimes you find things that either don't suit your ilk or simply don't appeal to you.
Right.
But everybody here is excellent. It is wonderfully curated.
So you mentioned Loewen and Navarro, and you two had a wonderful career. Largely the 90s?
Started actually first album in 1990.
Yeah. And widely respected, great critical acclaim and recognition. And then you lost your partner.
That's correct.
And you have continued to play, but you've been nowhere near as prolific in terms of recording as you were with Loewen and Navarro.
Life intervened. Eric was diagnosed in 2004 with Lou Gehrig's disease. We thought he might last 6 months to a year, so we decided to pour it on. He didn't die quick enough. I'm being glib on purpose. He kept going, so consequently, we kept extending the sell-by date. And we got 5 years, 250 shows, and 3 albums out of it. But when he retired in 2009, I immediately put out a live album of a show.
Is that McCabe's?
That was McCabe's, exactly. Thinking that I'd have a new album out within the year. That came out in 2009. I actually started my record in 2013, and it's taken me 5 years to make it. I got hurt twice. I got hurt once. I got sick twice. Ran out of money a couple of times. Life intervened. I've also keeping myself busy in those years. I was on the board of Folk Alliance during that period. I serve on the board of SAG-AFTRA, the union. I'm the National Recording Artist Singer VP. It's an extensive time suck, but it's all worth it. And this I had to keep coming back to. I didn't want to let go of it, and it did become frustrating. The frustration doesn't show in the recordings. What shows in the recordings, produced by my dear friend Steve Postel, who's playing guitar all over it, was the care and the attention. And I am very, very proud of this release.
I want people right now to hear something from this album. How about Shed My Skin?
That sounds great, the title track.
Come on and take a ride across the border to a place that once was mine. Out of focus, out of order, pictures from another time. On the outside, turning lighter, so much darker in my eyes. Gas or water on the fire makes no difference, something dies. So I take a piece of who I am, stretch it thin. Every time I start to feel the walls closing in, I shed my skin. Come on and take a ride on the dragon, hiding out behind the lines, piling bodies on the wagon. Everyone's a friend of mine, but when I feel that bitter chill in the wind, I swear that I can feel the room start to spin. So I shed my skin. I shed my skin. Crossfire, friends in need, on the inside of the bubble, we see what we choose to see. Yeah, 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 yeah. Freedom paved with fear, lead me back to where I came from, somewhere far away from here. But the light to find my way back home is growing dim, and the sirens from behind draw me in. So I shed my skin. I shed my skin. I shed my skin.
We Shed My Skin, the title track from Dan Navarro's brand new album. So is there a story behind Shed My Skin?
There's kind of two stories behind it. It was commissioned by a friend of mine named Enrique Castillo, who's an actor in Hollywood. He's done many movies. He was best known as the gardener on Weeds. People who watch series know that. And I grew up with him. He went to my high school a year before I did, graduated before I did. I grew up in Calexico, California, on the Mexican border. He had been working on a story based on a play called The Last Angry Brown Hat, which is essentially a Big Chill kind of story of guys who get together for the funeral of a friend years after they were all arrested in a big demonstration. He wanted a song for a particular scene. Throughout the movie, essentially, they confront the realities of, well, the various ways in which each of them have bought in and sold out, and they're different. So he needed a song for a scene. It's an independent movie. It hasn't been made yet. It may never get made. I hope it does. But it actually had me confront my own background, having been raised Latino on the Mexican border, but, of course, being taught U.S. culture, U.S. television, U.S. newspapers. Aquí se habla inglés. We weren't allowed to speak Spanish in the schools. So Spanish is my second language, even though my grandparents were all born in Mexico. I do speak it fluently now, or at least pretty close. Had me confront my own issues with that. Not so much of denial, but of back-burnering. And it was rather telling. But additionally, it had me realize that reinventing, rebuilding after Loewen retired was tough. My age is out there in Wikipedia. I was 55 when he retired. I'm 65 now. And putting my first true solo album out at 65 years old. Bring it on. but it still was scary. And so Shed My Skin is about those confrontations, about what we, well, deny or embrace. And sometimes it's both.
That's great. So given that you had some time to let this marinate and really decide what you wanted to say, mm-hmm. is there a common element to everything you've picked for this album?
Well, it's yes, from the standpoint that I've learned over the years that I err on the side of being moved and moving as opposed to impressing. It wasn't about glitz. It wasn't about, I want these great players, although I did get wonderful players on it. Oh, my God. Steve Postel, the producer, is a magnificent guitar player. Danny Korchmar's on this record.
Oh, wow.
Leland Sklar's on this record.
Oh, man.
Dream teams of players that I've always wanted to work with who were saying, let's do it. And I'm going, don't you know who I am not? Or don't you know who I think I am? It was really heartening.
Wow.
But it's all about emotion and about confrontation of those emotions. You know, all of the songs hit that bent. And I did something different after. There were two different things. One of them is that I'd collaborated as a songwriter my whole career. So of the 8 original songs, 7 of them were solely written. No collaborators. Oh. The last song added was a collaboration, Ghosts, with Matt Nicoa. I did 4 covers. I did 4 songs by other people, which wasn't something we normally did. There's an obscure Billy Idol tune on there that sounds like a murder ballad. I take on Wichita Lineman. What on earth am I thinking? But I also did 2 songs by friends. There's a song called You Drove Me Crazy, written by Tom Wilson of Blackie and the Rodeo Kings from his Lee Harvey Osmond project. He had a group called Lee Harvey Osmond, the Osmond who got no love. He did it as a duet with Margot Timmons. I did it as a duet with Janava Magnus. Wow. And the other is a song called Night Full of Rain, written by Kenny Edwards, who is a dear friend, ex-Linda Ronstadt's band and Brindle. He passed away, and I learned the song to sing at his memorial. But I was booked. I couldn't do it. So I did it that day at the same hour in honor and figured that was the only time I'd do it, and it's on the album. It's a staple in the set.
That's great. I have to ask about both the Billy Idol and, well, the Jimmy Webb song. Most people don't have those 2 things in their record collection.
That's right.
You're one or the other. How did you come across the Billy Idol cut?
You know, in the 80s, I was working as a pop songwriter for a couple of publishing companies, and Whiplash Smile came out. I liked Billy Idol's work. I had lived in London in 1980 working for a music manager, and Generation X was big and wonderful. So this album, Whiplash Smile, comes out, and there's a song on it called Sweet 16. I'm thinking at the time, man, Emmylou or Waylon, they need to cut this.
Wow.
And it was in the back of my head. About 8 years ago, I was doing a festival, and I'd mentioned it to a friend, and he said, let's do it now. So I worked it up, and it stayed in the set for a while. It is a murder ballad. It's the story of the guy who created the Coral Castle. He was this man from, I think, like Latvia or Estonia or something, who fell in love with it and was engaged to a 16-year-old who jilted him at the altar. He never got over it, moved to the U.S., and built this place in honor, well, obsession, really, of her. I considered it dropping it from the record because I didn't want it to sound like dating a 16-year-old is okay in the Me Too generation. But I did actually, Grace Pettis is singing on it with me a little bit, and I asked her about it, and she said, no, the creepiness of the guy's obsession comes through, and it was consensual. She agreed to marry him, and she pulled out of the marriage. So we're not talking about an abuse situation. We are talking about something fairly creepy, no question. But the depth of that obsession appealed to me from the standpoint that, you know, what drives us and what motivates us is something that's the center of a lot of the things that we all work on. And we try to find that common thread, both of the positive and the negative.
Given your demographic, no temptation to record Sweet 60? Would that have...
I wrote a song a bunch of years ago called Happy Birthday to You. Put down the gun and blow out the candles. That kind of thing about, you know, and it's actually was adapted from a Larry Miller piece where he... you know, talked about that you are finally 21, but you turn 30, that kind of thing. And I stopped at 50.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 65 now, and so I've added a little bit for 60. You know, if they say 60 is the new 40, my whole thing is that age, we've got certain things that we have to give in to, but to me, energy is relative.
Amen.
You stay motivated and inspired by what you see around you, you will not lose energy.
So I am of the camp that you could never have too many Jimmy Webb covers.
I agree with you completely.
But what prompted you to do Wichita Lineman?
I'd always loved the song, and I was doing a sound check in Washington, D.C. in about 2010, and I don't know what possessed me. But somebody we were talking about, I was talking about it with a friend of mine, and realized that there were some chords I could do that are not the typical chords for the song that sounded pretty fun. So I'm at sound check playing these, and John Jennings, the late John Jennings from Mary Chapin Carpenter's band, was playing with me that night. It's the only time one of only two or three times we ever played together. And I said, you know, John, you think we can do this? And he went, sure. And he worked up a little something, and it was wonderful, wonderful. So I started doing it. The part he created is the part on the record. Steve Postel, basically we adapted John's arrangement. And I just decided, you know, if not now, when? I did have a gentleman, well-meaning gentleman, come up to me after a show and say, you know, you don't need to do that song. And I think his feeling was like, are you pandering or are you diminishing your own writing? This is my band, quote unquote. I get to do what I want. And I just wanted to.
That's great.
The song is incredibly meaningful to me. It is, to me, the best song ever written.
Wow. Well, we are very excited about you having a new album. Shed My Skin is the name. And where can folks find this?
They'll be able to find it on my website. It will eventually be on Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, the whole nine yards. I didn't want to start that process till I had copies in my hand because I had pushed to release on this a couple of years even.
Yeah.
I started it 5 years ago.
So we're on the cutting edge. To be clear, Americana Music News, the podcast, is the first time anyone will hear this music.
That's correct.
I'm so proud. Let's close out with another great song from the album. This one is called Bulletproof Heart. Dan, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Same to you, Ken. Thanks so much.
I had a dream. I flew like a bird to the top of the mountain, and there you were, bathed in the shadows, alone in the dark, with a lock and chain around your bulletproof heart. Minute by minute, time after time, body to body, crossing over the line, wrapped in each other, a shower of sparks began to melt the ice away from your bulletproof heart. Somebody tell me, please, are we really here? I open my eyes and you disappear. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the genie back in the bottle again. Now I try to remember. to try to forget the way you felt that night, but it ain't happened yet. One perfect kiss blew the shackles apart to keep you locked inside your bulletproof heart. What's happening here? The image is hazy, but the memory's so clear. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put the genie back in the bottle again. So where are the fault lines? How deep are the ties? Can I ever touch the fire I see in your eyes? We can come together, or we'll come apart. But I cannot come away from your bulletproof heart. Your bulletproof heart. Too hard to imagine, too late to pretend that all the things we said and did won't happen again. So how do we finish? Where do we start to break down the walls around your bulletproof heart?
Bulletproof Heart from the new Dan Navarro album, Shed My Skin. It is great to finally have an album from him, and it's terrific to have him drop by. It's kind of a theme to this particular episode because, as you heard, Dan is 65, and he is a senior statesman with the Folk Music Alliance, and he also freely acknowledges that he's 65, putting out his first album. I'm sitting here with three talented young women whose collective age is about 65. So,
That's true.
The math works. So I'm going from a senior statesman to the rookies. Delighted to welcome Maybe April, a trio out of Nashville, really, and although you've come from different cities around the country, and you're making a name for yourselves. I've had the privilege of getting to know these young ladies early in their career and have watched with real pride as they've emerged as a promising young trio. Just for fun, I think we ought to do a roster call here so folks listening to this in their cars can figure out who's in the left speaker and who's in the right.
Hey, this is Kristen Castro. I'm from Simi Valley, California, and I play guitar and mandolin.
Hi, this is Katie DuBois. Still getting used to saying that, but I am from Arkansas, and I play guitar and mandolin.
And this is Elena Stacy. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I also play guitar and mandolin.
You copied that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a great start when you can remember your name and where you're from.
Yeah, we're doing
sometimes
great so far.
Sometimes I remember my name.
Yeah, well, Katie just got married, which is why she said.
Yeah, it's still like, getting that flow right.
So I think you guys have the greatest origin story outside of maybe John Lennon meeting Paul McCartney.
Wow, that's
in a churchyard.
That's hard to live up.
But it's a great story. It's an inexplicable story how the three of you got together. So, yeah. One of you, please volunteer.
Sure, I got this one. So we actually met, oh my gosh, almost 6 years ago now, 5.5 years ago, in Nashville at a camp called Grammy Camp. And Grammy Camp is this awesome camp hosted by the Grammy Foundation, where high school kids from all around the country can come and learn about the music industry in several different capacities. It wasn't just songwriters or singers or musicians. It was also people interested in audio engineering and electronic music and managing and marketing and all that fun stuff. So we were all in the songwriting track together, and we'd never met, from three different parts of the country. And we ended up kind of getting thrown together by our mentor, Drew. The three of us were sort of like last ones picked at gym class kind of thing. Nobody wanted to be in our group. And so he suggested that we form a trio and write a song and present it at the end of the week. And we wrote this song called Loving You Still. We wrote it in a couple hours, and we just really clicked as friends and as musicians and all that. And we ended up moving in together a year later in Nashville.
What's remarkable about that story, and unless Drew is just deeply brilliant. And, I mean, you could have ended up with an audio engineer in the group who couldn't carry a tune. There'd be no future here for you.
Yeah.
But your voices blend beautifully.
Thank you.
It's like.
Thank you.
I don't want to overstate it, but it'd be like Crosby, Stills, and Nash all being part of the same Boy Scout troop or something.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
So anyway, I'm pleased for you, and a lot of people are talking about you here at the Folk Alliance.
All right.
Everybody loves young talent. And you know, you've done well. You've done one showcase or more?
So far, just one. We've got one more tonight and two more tomorrow night.
So if you could describe for our listeners sort of the experience of being a young group. You know you have talent, but you also know better than anyone that the music industry is kind of chaotic right now.
Yes.
Hard to sell records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's your fault, by the way. It's yeah. Your generation's fault.
True. Yeah. It is true.
So you've just downloaded your way out of a career. As you look forward, I know you're ambitious and optimistic, and you have every reason to be, but how do you make a career in this environment? What's your strategy?
I think you have to lean on touring a lot more. And you can't wait around for a label and all of these people to come into place. I don't think, like, when I was young, I thought you'd wait and then you just blow up because all this stuff would happen. But we're doing a lot of like growth, self-growth touring, and I feel like that's our best bet right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the relationships we have, like with products or people we've met along the way, like with the Grammy Foundation or mm-hmm. MTSU, just, I don't know.
Yeah, just making those relationships, and which is something I think that has always been a part of the music industry, regardless of, you know, whether it's now where we've ruined it or, you know, 50 years ago or whatever. But I think relationships are really a big part of that. And mm-hmm. like Katie said, just kind of keeping on the road and mm-hmm. making your music, because nobody buys albums anymore. So the only way you can continue to do what you love is to be able to support yourself doing it. So touring is a great way to do that.
So in the annals of pop and folk, there aren't a lot of, I'll say all-girl trios,
mm-hmm.
All-women trios.
Yes.
I mean, you go way back, and Sandra's Sisters and mm-hmm. people like that. But are there models for you now in the contemporary music world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we really admire a lot of the women in the music industry and songwriters and musicians, as well as industry professionals things of that nature. But I think, you know, people always liken us to the Dixie Chicks, which our music isn't really, but, you know, obviously we get the comparison because we are three women, and so, you know, that has been a model for us. And Eden's Edge, although they were not all female, we really loved listening to them, and just female artists in general. We love Kacey Musgraves. We really like Maren Morris.
Lori McKenna
is the queen of the world. If you're listening, Lori, we love you.
We love you.
So, there are a lot of really cool, strong women that we look up to and that we try to, you know, emulate.
So, Katie, you mentioned just married, recently married.
Yes. So well, it's been probably seven months.
Okay. So you have to balance your personal life now in ways like you never have before. How often are you guys on the road?
It's kind of different every month. This spring we're going to get to stay in Nashville more and just write and start to record some stuff. But we've been out quite a bit, and this summer we're going to be out quite a bit. So it's definitely a balance, but I think if you just make things a priority in your life and you know what your schedule's going to be, I think that's the best way to look at it. So either one doesn't tilt.
Mm-hmm. And Zach is also a musician, yeah. So he's really understanding about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He understands, and he has shows, and we just support each other.
So you guys have recorded an EP, mm-hmm. And it's cleverly named Maybe April.
Maybe April. Yeah. We thought long and hard about that one.
Clearly you had a good education.
Yeah. hey, branding. Make them remember your name.
So are there plans to extend that to what we used to call a long player?
I think we are going to record a couple new songs and maybe just start a new project.
Yeah. We're recording some singles and putting the singles out and then shooting for a full length.
Sometime.
Maybe by the end of this year, early next year.
It feels like we're working at your future right here.
Right now.
We are.
We're seeing this happen in real time.
I'm glad
many options.
I'm glad I could get you together for this
Help us figure out our lives.
Well, like I say, a lot of people are impressed with you, and you've got a lot of people pulling for you. I flippantly referred to Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and that is so unfair, because then I've got to play a record for you that you've got to go, yeah, you know what, their harmony is every bit as good as that, but you know what, they may be, I want to play that for you right now. What of your many songs would you like us to share with this audience?
Well, we would love for you to play our song Last Time. We're really excited about that song right now because the music video for that actually just premiered on CMT a couple weeks ago.
Oh, fantastic.
And so for the last few weeks, we've been in the top 12, replaying every week, and it's been awesome. So,
let's push some product, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
We'll listen to Last Time right now and check out Maybe April. I assume your website's a good place to get more information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just maybeapril.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Maybe April Music, all that fun stuff, and hope to see everybody at a show sometime.
Maybe April, Last Time.
Every chance I could restore the ground wherever you stood, and every time I turned around, you always let me down. What's the point in giving out my heart? Gonna sit behind bars, 'cause it seems like I gotta drag love out of you. You don't get to choose. It's real, 'cause maybe.
American Music News is a podcast produced by Sprinter Media, music by Dave Paulson, and you can reach us at amneditor@gmail.com.